Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This week, Jammer, our guest, brings a guest. David has a fucking aneurysm. I realise that I'm actually a bit shit. And Chloe scares the crap out of a guy. So, let's strap down, let's strap in, and let's do this.
This is Just Another Trucking Podcast.
Hello, this is Just Another Trucking Podcast. I am your host, Tom, and I'm joined, as always, by my good friends, co-hosts, and holy fuck, there's a lot of them this week. We've got David. Hello, David. How are you?
I'm grand, man. How are you?
I'm very good. I'm just a quick heads up. David is going to be as funny and as chill as he can this week. However, we are pushing the technical shit to the max. We have five people on this week, and one of them's a pop-in guest, and fuck, we'll see where this goes. So yeah, we're gonna see where it goes. So yeah, are you feeling calm, David? Do you feel like we're technically gonna be okay?
You
this
look
week
like stressed, to be honest.
I have my beers waiting,
right,
for
so David's gonna be steaming this week, so that's a good start.
That is a good start. That's a strong start, that
Jammer.
Is.
Hello, Jammer.
Hello, Tom. How you doing?
Oh, by the way, I'm doing this in order that I can see them on my screen as such. Very good, sir. Welcome back to the podcast. It's been a while.
Thank you very much. Lovely to see Chloe and David especially, and Tom. Yep. Great.
Yeah, and this is the
like me especially,
our...
or Chloe and David especially.
Yeah, why David especially? What's wrong with me?
I must admit, I do have quite a soft spot for David. I'm not going to lie, Chloe.
I've got a hard spot. Hello, Chloe. How are we doing?
Oh my God. I'm not doing great with the technical issues, but yeah, we're good. Are you good?
You know what's funny, Tom? The mic that she's talking into right now is not the actual mic that we're listening to.
I was going to say, there's no way that's the correct microphone. That's
what
like,
do you mean?
No way that's the correct microphone.
The microphone that we've been testing for the last 10 minutes, that sounded we got it absolutely perfect.
Right.
Yeah, that's not the mic we're actually listening to right now. For some reason, you've changed the mic somehow.
Well, let's you know that you're not stand by technical difficulties. Let's splash that up on screen for a second, and we'll be back with you in a second, guys. I've been so derailed by all this. I honestly don't even know where I'm up to. We do have another guest, which is
a guest of a guest.
I know it's not a guest because Jammer's at this point. He is a host, but. Should we do Jammer section first?
Yeah.
And then we can introduce his guest. But I think because he's not our guest, Jammer should introduce him and explain, who have you brought to us, Jammer?
So I brought Clive. Nice guy, Clive. He's come along to me. I'll be honest with you, he's a dog lover. He's been out, he's got his Labradors and that. You see a picture behind him there. He's got his dogs with him, actually. So that is actually one of my students that's just passed his test for me.
What,
with his
dog?
ATV training. The dog driving a truck.
You could easily type that out in AI right now, and there could be a video of it. Nothing is out of our reach now when it comes to making videos of the weirdest things. And goddamn, the weird things do come out. Sorry,
you could actually kill YouTube at the minute, I think. It could actually kill YouTube soon because they could just make fake videos for YouTube, you know?
Well, stand by for my topic then.
All right.
There we go.
So brought Clive on because he's a past. He's a past.
Yeah. So because he's past, I wanted him to speak in case there's any people that are thinking about joining the industry. And Clive is fresh. He's just done it. He'd be able to tell you what he went through and what sort of steps he needed to take. So this is perfect for the Trucking Podcast. There we go.
Be, but could you imagine how good it would have been if he turned around and was like, yeah, he didn't pass, he was shit. But, you know, I've still brought him along anyway.
Have we missed that, though, Jam? Have you changed careers?
Yes, I'm now a HGV instructor.
Oh, I missed that bit. That's so cool.
Well, that makes sense now. He called himself an instructor.
What would you call him? What would you call him, Clive?
Something. What? He's all right. He's not bad. He's not a bad lad.
Are you sure you brought on the right guest to actually pump up your instructing abilities?
He's all right.
Honesty is the best policy, you know.
Yes.
So what was the hardest part of doing all of your stuff? What did you find the struggle?
My age, I think.
Learning at the. Yeah, go on.
At the ripe old age of 57.
I'm blunt. Okay. And you think, what kind of career did you have before this?
Say again, sorry.
What kind of a career did you have before this?
I was a mechanic. Well,
okay.
So, yeah, it's a different ball game. And, yeah, it's nerve-wracking. You think, I've got fed up with cars. It's just getting too much. And I've always wanted to do recovery work. And I sort of thought, well, if you're going to go into recovery work, let's go do big recovery work, yeah, not lip cars and that. Chucking in cars, so
you want to go on the full wreckers,
yeah,
then,
absolutely, yeah, do proper stuff.
Have you been out on the wreckers and actually done some of the stuff? Have you done call outs on the road?
No, well, commercial tyres, but that's a bit different. You know what I mean? But it's still, you're still dealing with the danger of motorways and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Well, I'll ask a question from someone who has. Who has experience with
turning
what can
up
go
randomly
wrong
on accidents? Yeah.
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 Are you kind of like, do you think you're mentally prepared for that sort of work?
Yeah. I've worked for garages where I've had to go out and do recoveries.
Yeah.
One time back, we're talking sort of like mid 90s, went to do a job down in Tane. Yeah, Oxfordshire, Tane. And, yeah, it turned out that four people got cooked alive in his car. And when you're jacking
nasty.
Up... And, I mean, this is going to sound gross as hell. Blood.
Well, we've heard a lot from Tom,
and
so
that coming
we're not
out of his car when you're putting it up on the ramps and stuff like that. And it doesn't get any worse than that, I don't think. You're running along and seeing that.
I don't think a lot of people realise that when... If there's been a death, and if at least parts of someone are so trapped, because I went to go and do recovery work, it was something I was about to, and instead,
like that, doesn't it?
I went, yeah, but they recover everything.
Yeah, that's what I mean. The
and
whole
that
thing
gets taken
recovered.
Back.
Yeah,
that'll get taken back and put in like whatever like the designated yard is for that sort of thing, and they just put a tarp over it, and it is. Understandable, but also really messed up as well. It's there's something about it, and it's something that I don't know if I could deal over a long period. But I'm also, you know, a bit of a fairy. So what are you gonna do?
You are a fairy, Tom.
All right. So during your training. Was there a lot of stuff that you were not expecting, and did you feel like all the instructions were given to you clearly? Or, you know, because a lot of times, because there's so many different types of people out there, one instruction doesn't actually translate to everybody else, you know. So I was just kind of wondering, isn't like, how was your experience over
I
there?
Think when we was doing our reversing, it was sort of like, I mean, I've reversed lots of kit, you know, I mean, caravans and stuff like trailers and that.
Okay, that's huge. Just the fact that you can do that in the first place is actually very, it's just a shortcut.
Yeah. Sometimes it's how it's dealt to you as, like, it was like, I know how to do it, but when it's being told to me to do it, yeah, it's sort of like left hand down to go right hand out, yeah. But rather than that, you should, I think, like, steer into the trailer and steer out of the trailer to get your back end to move where it wants to go. That was something that we had a thing with, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, I was so I teach it. When we get to the cones, we do one right turn, see the green tape, then it's two left turns, And then you get straight to your trailer, and then you go straight back, and then obviously it's half a left, and then you're into the gate. Clive was obviously struggling a little bit, so I said, right, in your mirror, when you see more of the trailer, turn to that mirror. So if you see more of the trailer in your right, turn right, and then that will start to get yourself back straight. And that was it, clicked. And he just knew how to get it straight into the garage, as they call it. So you've got to adapt yourself as an instructor, because different people have different communications, like David said. So I could have a posh bloke, I could have a normal guy, I can have a street man, you know, like road man, and I can adapt myself to talk so they understand exactly what I'm trying to say. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. But as someone who has been in the industry and done Arctics for as long as you have, Gemma,
yeah,
do you not find that particular reversing test? Because I did that, the one that you're talking about, the little bay.
Yeah.
And this is literally, I don't, you, David, I don't know if you've been taught the sort of, you, I think you've taught.
I think
about
it might be
before.
Called an off, a long offset.
Something like that. And basically you just turn, like, for those people who don't know, it's like you're reversing, you've got like, so you've got
like
all your cones set up.
Isn't it?
You've got a,
yes.
Imagine the guy comes up to you and says, oh, it's not the bay that you're in front of, it's the next bay.
Yeah.
That's basically what you're doing. And you've it's a not
Tesco
terribly
park.
Tight.
It's the opposite of your, it doesn't reflect the real world for truckers. No.
But it doesn't reflect the real world. But not only that, I think the way it's taught also doesn't. Because I think they stopped this, but they had, the guys that I had, had a cable tie.
Yeah,
that
I had
stuck
tape
out
on mine.
From the thing.
Yeah, we still use that. Yeah. Still use that.
And it's basically, I had a little cable tie that stuck out from the side.
Once it reaches a certain point, you turn, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and then that's it. But
it doesn't work for everything, though. It depends where your fifth wheel is. Because if you pick up a trailer, it could be shorter. So it doesn't work. Yeah, so we don't actually train it. We don't actually use it. There's one on ours, but it just don't line up. So we actually just teach them, look out your window, look for 15.5. You're there. All you've got 15.5. To work out is the length of your vehicle. So you've got your length of your trailer, plus your tractor unit. You then get out, check the back, see if you're in the bay, come forward, and your centre of your driver's wheel is more or less 15 and a half. So your truck's about 16 metres, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you start at 15 and a half, you're in the bay.
With, you're teaching just one particular test. One particular thing is basically an offset where you start off in the straight, you get yourself angled, and then you straighten up again, do a straight back, and then you do a little, and then you do an opposite, and then you do an opposite. All right. So now the way you're, what I can gather, like, okay, as soon as you see this point, this is when you turn. You turn, you know, one to the leg, but that's fine if that was the every single dock in the world.
It's not right. This is why.
I had a feeling that, it's just like, but this is how you have to do it. You know what I mean? It's like, so a lot of the time, they're not prepared for the real world.
Yeah.
Is the thing. You know
what
I mean?
But you want to see the coupling and uncoupling then, David. That will make you laugh.
it probably would. I'd love to see it.
Well,
I should probably Google it one of these days.
No, so you know how when we want to get a trailer, we get straight to the trailer, see it, lower our trailers, truck straight away, go straight under, lift it straight up, straight back. No, perfect. In test, you've got to stop a meter before you get to the trailer. Then you've got to get out. Now you've got to check the height, make sure the kingpin jaws are open. Then you've got to point to the jaws, then point to the pin. Now get back in and reverse back in. It's very long-winded. It's not real life.
Yeah, I think it just sounds very familiar, similar to ours, right?
And, I will say, I do, when I was on Arctics, I was doing that. But I will say, Jammer had what he did. He was, Jammer's probably unhooked and, like, in fact, to be honest with you, both of you, in fact, have probably unhooked more trailers than I have. In that, you've probably done it in a month than I have my entire time as a truck
driver.
That's
right, because you stay connected to your trailer.
All the
time.
Yeah, it's
right.
Very, very,
especially
rare.
My job, because I was disconnecting, I don't know, 60 times a day.
You live like I in fact, I would be stunned if I've unhooked a trailer 60 times since I started driving.
That's crazy.
Like,
are you the real host?
Like, what, coming up nearly 10 years now.
Wow.
Like it was so like, and I, whenever I did it, I had to go through all the stuff in my head. I had to make sure I was doing it all. And Chloe, I'm guessing you can back me up on the same thing as, oh no, because you did.
No, because well, I was no, doing wagon on, drag. On an Arctic, so...
But no, but wagon drag was different again. And I would say,
it's only
I
a
think
little
wagon
bit
drag was fucking harder.
You reckon? I like, thought that was easier.
Trying to get it in the fucking little thing and the amount, like when.
Yeah.
So it's hard to kind of explain. Just imagine it like an open mouth and you've got to get your bar into the open mouth, but you've got to kind of. Imagine it like you deep throat in a girl, but you've got to ram it into the back. Like,
I don't know. Was Kevin.
This is where the jokes
I'm trying to imagine. Hold on. I'm trying to imagine.
It climbs back there going. What the fuck have I joined?
Let Clive explain.
You know, you've got to hit the back like, and Clive knows what I'm talking about. This guy knows what I'm talking about. But like, you've got to hit the back of it so the pin comes down.
Yeah.
And if you don't do it right, and then you're like,
Did you say that again? The pin comes down.
Yeah, so you're not driven by a woman.
I thought you meant normal train. I was thinking the pin's already there. It don't drop down.
Have you done wagon and drag, to be fair, Jam? Have you only done the rigid? Yeah. Not the rigid.
No, I've done Arctics, rigids, containers, and the largest container I've done was the 45 footers.
Yeah, because
I know
you've done the Arctics. I just didn't know if you'd done the wagon drag.
I've not done any wagon drags. No, not done wagon drag. I know what you're on about, though. It is. It's like a train clip, isn't it?
Yeah.
At the bottom. Or you've got the box trailers for, like, Shoe Zone. That scares me. Well, you know when they have to drop the box off?
Oh, that's horrible.
Legs. I always think, well, what if I try and go in and I knock one of the feet over and it just flattens out?
We've got Dropbox. For one of our trucks, we have Dropbox. I don't even know what you'd kind of explain them as, but like we've got like a tipper Dropbox, we've got high up Dropbox, we've got a Roro Dropbox,
yeah,
and it's basically back underneath it, and it'll turn into a Roro, or you're back underneath the other one, and it's a tipper, you're back under the other one, you've got high up, and so we've got like different like types, and it's like fucking Thunderbirds or something. The only thing it's missing is it needs a conveyor belt behind it, kind of swinging, and you've got to go din din diddlin din 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 diddlin. No, David has no idea. Did you watch Thunderbirds as a kid?
Oh, no, I didn't.
What?
The closest thing to Thunderbirds that I ever watched was Team America.
Oh, no. Did you ever watch Captain Scarlet? I like Captain Scarlet.
What the fuck? What about Captain Scarlet?
I love Captain Scarlet.
Oh, actually, no, the best one was Stingray. Stingray.
We had the car.
Fucking so good.
Anyway, I'm a bit confused here. You're telling me about you've got all these special things, but you haven't even got a wheel wash, Tom. So what's going on here?
Jammer, I've got a brand new lorry this week again. Tom's still suffering in his little 16 plate where he goes, check out this, steering wheel comes off.
Mate, he had traffic this week. He had traffic. I couldn't believe the traffic he had. And he's got no wheel wash. He's throwing boulders all over the road, killing people with boulders.
None of the stones have hit anyone. Can I just... Actually, no...
Once they're in behind you, just don't look in the mirror. That's fine. It's not your problem.
Let me just correct what I've just said. None of the stones has hit a person.
You think? Allegedly.
Plenty of windshields.
No. Allegedly. But it has. I know for a fact one smashed a windshield because he's been trying to identify which truck it was. And he's gone fucking nuts at us because he's dragged us into the office on Friday. He's like, what the fuck were you doing down this road? And I was like, there's traffic. Says, but it's not safe going down there. And I said, well, it is safe because it's not making us angry. If we're on the traffic, we'll be angry about stuff. So it's the safest option. It didn't work. He was not happy about it.
And he actually had proper traffic. I've seen the video. It was immense. I can't believe it myself.
Sorry, Kevin.
Back to Clive. This happens a lot when you're actually talking. You know, because we're not going to... When it comes to your training, so now you have how long ago since you passed your test?
A week.
All right. So you haven't driven by yourself.
No.
And do you have a job already lined up?
I got an interview on Monday.
Okay, got an interview. That's something.
What's the interview for?
Um, I don't even know the name of the company, to be fair. It's just a driving agency in Leicester.
Oh, okay, right. Agency, that's amazing. But obviously, agency work gets you on the track.
This is it.
It can be a great way of getting started.
This
is it.
This is what appealed to me with the advert that they take on new drivers, new pass. You know, when when I've been looking for the past week about jobs and that, it's sort of like 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, 2 years. You know what I mean? This experience that's needed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the critical thing.
What kind of work do you want? Would you like to go across Europe and just start driving and just take long road trips? Because that's basically in America. Now, just to clarify, I live in America. Well, I've been living in America for the last 25 years. I have 20 years of truck driving behind me, mm-hmm. and most of it local, but I've done a crazy amount of driving across the country as well. But we find that most truck drivers in America, like I'd say most, like 99% of them go over the road. They go long haul distances because that's much easier than city driving. A lot of times they don't want to actually put you in a local vehicle until like you're at least 3 or 4 months, you know, that way you actually get a better feel, because as a local driver, you know, you're driving in the city constantly, you know what I mean? So that's basically 100 times more events that can happen than if you were just driving in a straight line. Well, I know that in America, we drive in a lot of straight lines. Not so much England. There's quite a lot more curves going on with your roads. But would you be comfortable with going across? What's it called? Not cramping. What's
cramping? Don't they?
Tramping.
Tramping.
Tramping. Yeah. Tramping, well, yeah. No. Yeah. I don't want to do that.
No.
Because
okay.
I need to get home to my boy. Yeah.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? And sort of gotcha. Like, I don't want to be shitting in the hedge and pissing in the bottle, like as well,
Chloe. Chloe pissing in a lay-by.
Yeah. And it's something I've looked at, and I took on board when I was thinking about changing career, is what drivers have to go through. I mean, I done my CPC courses before I'd even started my training, and chatting to the guys there when you're doing your CPC courses, so much information, you know what I mean? And you're sat with a bunch of guys for 8 hours. You know, and we're talking about things on our courses and that, and what they have to go through. You know what I mean? Even today now as drivers, you know what I mean? And they said it's horrendous. And thanks, but no, I don't really want to put myself in that position. You know, I'd rather sort of like go home, do 8 hours or 12 hours, whatever it takes, and at least get home at night rather than...
The thing is as well, Clive, with that tramping, my argument is with it, because my ex-boss is wanting me to go through for it, right? And I'm telling you now, they wanted to pay me £26 for a night out. Yeah. Now, when you're in the army, you're paid while you sleep because you're still there. Why would I get paid for £26 in Hotel Actros, if you like, right, and not go home? Yeah. I might as well go home for £26, see my family, have a hot meal and my own bed. There's no point in me tramping for 26 quid because I am I'm a security guard on no money. I'm trying to look after a truck overnight. No point. I think tramping needs to raise its game. Yeah. Well, I think it needs more money in it.
I wasn't a security guard. If they want to nick stuff, that's fine. In fact, they did. I had people on a number of occasions like rob stuff out of the truck, and fuck it. I'm not dealing with that. Like, I mean, there was the guy in France who got fucking hatcheted.
Yeah.
He got out for a piss and fucking he started.
Two guys were in it.
I don't know what it was, but it was like poor bastard. Like
it's my old gaffer used to have a go at me for not locking my diesel cap, and I says, well, I'd rather lock the diesel cap, keep it unlocked, because if they're going to get the diesel, they're going to get it.
Yeah.
You know, what do you want? Do you want to replace the tank and the diesel?
Going to you first and then going straight to the cap, you know?
Yeah. Well, they're going to damage the cap. They're going to stab a screwdriver underneath, one on top, drain it. So then you need to replace your tank plus the diesel inside. I'd rather you just, so if you want diesel, take it, mate. You know what I mean?
I get it.
Yeah. There is a lot of security, you know what I mean, and issues with UK trucking. I don't know what it's like in America, but you hear it as well. So like you're talking to other people, you hear the issues there is. I don't think the pay is good enough, you know what I mean, for the responsibility.
Absolutely not.
That you have.
No, absolutely not.
Well you've just hit on something there as well, my friend. Because I was looking up at the things today in the HGV world, and there's a big massive clamp. I'm trying to find it now. So there's a lot of thefts at the minute, and I'm trying to work out where it bloody is. Sorry about this. It's
you will
the
be.
Fate of thefts.
So anyway, we brought you on because Gemma wanted to talk about your experience as a trainee. What were the things that you went through and your experiences and all that? And so you had the driving experience. You drove through a city. Now, a lot of times when you were driving through the city, you probably did the exact same turns over and over again until they were perfected, because that's basically what you're what you paid for was to pass a test.
Yeah,
that's what you
trained
to pass. You didn't pay to actually learn to become a truck driver.
No, you don't.
You know what I mean?
No.
You learned how to get your HGV license, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I've got a very big problem with that. But I didn't not saying anything bad about Gemma. Gemma is doing his job.
Yeah.
He's trying to, I'm sure he gave you a lot of extra pointers on top of and went above and beyond what he needed to do.
But
this
is what I find very daunting about it, you know, is that like they've taught you this reversing maneuver. But you look at sort of where you got parked, and I'm thinking to myself, like, how the bloody hell do I do this? How the bloody hell? And this case of like, I'm savvy enough to work it out myself, you know? But if someone else hasn't got that sort of like attitude towards it, they're going to get right stuck with it, you know? And this is as the same you said with driving around town and cities and stuff like that. There's a lot going on.
I do think even with like some of the better places here in the UK, I'll just stipulate the UK part. There is a very much an element of like, just go on, see if you can swim. Here you go. Go on, some water. Go on, fuck off. And I know in America, because this is what David did. He was he did training on the road, and you actually had someone out with you for a period of time, didn't you?
Yeah, they would. A lot of time when you're an over the road driver, when you're gone for at least 2 weeks at a time, you know, you actually have you have somebody living in your truck with you, kind of experiencing what you're experiencing. And most of the time, they do the driving, you know, but they only back up maybe once a day, you know. But so they do experience what it's like out there. They just don't get to really experience the skilled part of it, the parts that you're actually going to really struggle with. You know, but yeah, you know, that's just sorry, I lost my train of thought there.
How do you get them? Like, do you guys ever like take flights if you have to get the truck, get back? And, like, the truck needs to,
usually they put you up in a hotel, you know, and if your company is, if they're a pretty decent company, or you got a good driver manager, or, you know, a good, I don't like, their goal is to keep you. They don't want to lose you, but like I'll tell you right now, if I had plans on a certain day, you know, there was either two, you know, they would make sure that I just basically for the last week before that, they'd keep me in that area. But sometimes, you know, you might break down and all that kind of thing. And they'll put you on a flight, you know, they'll get someone to recover it. But that's not that's if you're, I don't know, if you really know what you're doing in a way. Sorry, if you have the right bosses and if you're good at talking, as I'm like, hey, this is what's going to happen. I'll tell you right now. I'm not giving you this is not an ultimatum. Just giving you some facts. This is what I would, you know, if I'm not home, all right, I'm just saying, you know, like, I'm saying I will be home regardless. If it's going to cost me an arm and a leg, I will not be leaving. You know what I mean? This is not saying, oh, you better do this, or, you know what I mean? As I'm like, so, you know, because there's so many truck driving jobs out there, but I always was I never let it up to my boss to make sure that I was getting home. You know what I mean? I would actually go above her, and I would talk to the planners, and just say, hey, remember now, just in case there was a typo somewhere, everyone's on board that I need to be home at this particular time. Are we good? All right, just making sure. You know what I mean? I just didn't want to rely on my own boss making sure of that. You know what I mean? Because my boss isn't the one who actually decides what work I get. It's the planners that do that, you know? So, there's that kind of stuff too, you know, knowing that other people can make mistakes and all that kind of thing. So you want to make sure that you're on top of them, you know, just don't presume is what I'm trying to say. Cause a lot of people will start complaining. They're like, oh, I asked for this time off, but then they got this and that, like, you know, that's just one of those things, you know, but a lot of times you end up getting kind of crappy work before that day off. But just because you want to make sure
nowadays. You're
sorry,
yeah, it's 15 a hour day.
They want to try their best. It always happens. Whenever you want to get back early, you never get back early. And I've said it similar to you. I've said it to our boss. Look, mate, if I have tonight out, I'm getting on a bus. I'm leaving this truck here. Mm-hmm. I'm off. I'm going home tonight. But it never got to that.
I have heard of people getting flights. I can't remember what the scenario was or anything, but people have definitely gotten flights to get home. But as in, I've definitely have stayed in a hotel for close to a week, you know, because my truck was down. I was just, I didn't really care. I was very easy. I was like, yeah, whatever. Hey, I'm getting paid. I don't care. I've got other work to do. You know what I mean? I've got my laptop right here. I got games. I'm basically home. I ended up going sightseeing. I think I had a bicycle in the back of my truck, so I could just take it around. And I got to see Denver. I got to, you know, I went all over the place.
You're in America, you know, David. It's so much cooler to like visualize all of that. You get stuck over here in Devon, and you're like, oh, great.
I suppose, yeah.
Field okay, again.
Yeah. You know, yeah, I wasn't. I wasn't.
Devon's beautiful.
Can you tell the Devon local by any chance? Holy fuck.
Hold on. Devon's really nice. I like Devon. I've just been there. I went there this summer and I went to Beer and I went to Durdle Door. Well, Durdle Door's Dorset.
Well, you could have messaged me, Jammer, couldn't you? Jesus.
I kept thinking you're in Bristol for some reason.
No, I was literally just round the corner from you. Screw you. Didn't even
well, we've got a place down there.
Come and see me. We'll come
and see you next time because we've got a private van down there. So yeah, we'll come and see you.
Okay. You better.
A what?
Private van near the donkey sanctuary.
Oh, thank you for that. Appreciate it.
I'm glad you specified that for the noise. Yeah, that was so needed.
To it, didn't know what you meant by donkey.
Anyway,
could have been anything.
So Clive, when you actually, more you probably don't know this because you haven't actually started a job yet. But when you get into it, when you guys got into a truck for the very first time, when you start working, did you guys have a trainer? Did you have a guy sitting next to you making sure you could drive? How long were you with that person before you actually got left out on your own?
I'll be buddied up for a week with a guy.
It's normally about right.
About right.
Or a girl.
Or a girl. Thank you very much, Gemma. Good call.
Or.
So I'm hoping, hold on a second, I'm hoping my wife is listening to this right now. She doesn't realize that I think my youngest son is able to actually open the door to his bedroom now, and he managed to get upstairs, and he's outside my door trying to get in. So, yeah,
at least he's not near the window.
Oh, my God.
Okay, no.
Oh, my God, that's right. Jesus Christ. Anyway. But if that's the case, that sucks because now we have to like figure out a way to keep him inside in his room while he's taking naps and going to bed at nighttime. Or make sure all the doors are actually closed. But, anyway, so you guys, you four, you three, actually, I should say, Clive, not asking you, did you guys have a trainer? Did you guys have somebody next to you? And for how long did you have a guy next to you?
Or, no,
are you, I didn't. Did you just jump straight into it? Okay, you asked for 3 days.
Yeah, 3 days.
That's it?
Yeah.
All right. How about you, Tom? Did you have anybody?
Someone stand at the front of the truck and he goes, right, control box is down at the back.
Mm-hmm.
The keys are in it. You're going to Bladen. We'll see you next week.
Yeah.
All right. How about you, Chloe?
It does depend on your company.
That was it.
Well, mine was a bit different because obviously my company put me through it and I'd already done a bit of skip driving like in the yard. So I'd learned myself to do it. So then I just got chucked out on it. But saying that, now I do a lot of training. On average, I'll have someone for about a week, depending on their experience. Yeah. So,
okay.
But then there's my mate's just got to start at a new job somewhere, and he's literally training for a month. He's not even allowed to drive a vehicle until like the end of next month.
Well, so he hasn't even driven a vehicle by himself.
They're going to do a Zoom call to make sure he's drivable. He's allowed to drive. That he's going to have an online Zoom call.
So this is a mental test. This is to make sure that he's...
Like an actual driving check. He'll have a Zoom
call
online to make sure he's adequate to drive. And then he'll be allowed to drive. So he'll go out training.
How can you figure out if someone's adequate to drive?
He'll go out training, but it will be the Zoom call that verifies if he's all right to drive. How does that make any sense?
Right. So something came up here. On my Devon. Indeed,
it's Devon.
Right, which
so
is
backwards.
I don't understand how this is. So there was a job listing, and it's a remote HGV instructor.
Yeah, one of those.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Well,
I mean, basically, you're just going to play a game, aren't you? You're just going to go online, play truck simulator together, and have someone talking to you.
Of course it's not. No, it's just a self-employed, perhaps, driving instructor that will go to where you are. Will come down to you with his truck.
So he will go out to you, okay.
That makes more sense. That makes more sense than what we were thinking. We were thinking it's all online.
I mean, we could do that, Tom. We could just do online driving instructor and people could just ring in. Yeah. Done.
Right. Download my trucking skills. Yeah, no. It's my trucking skills.
Yeah.
It's on the App Store. No, that's Pornhub.
Yeah, we did that one already.
What would pop up if we typed that out, though?
What, Pornhub? I can tell you exactly what. I know exactly what pops up.
You need to get verification now.
All right, so my topic is actually somewhat related, so we're going to kind of segue to that. All right, now, what was it like driving for the very first time in your rig without anybody next to you telling you what to do? Where it's like every mistake, like, you're questioning everything at this point. Did you even connect to the trailer correctly? Am I taking that turn wide enough? Turns out you did connect to the trailer correctly, but that turn you made was crazy wide. You know what I mean? Now, in America, we have a non-synchronized transmission for our manual trucks. That means that you can't just put the clutch down, take it out of first, and put it into a second. That's not how it works. You gotta put the clutch down, release the clutch again while it's in neutral, and then put the clutch down again, and then put it into second. So there's, and then if you wanted to downshift, you'd have to, you know, put the clutch down, or you do have the option of the clutch, but take it in, put it into neutral, then revving it up like 400 or 500 RPM, and then downshifting. So it's a really complicated driving a manual over here is just as complicated as backing up, and it is just so much work goes into both. You know, unlike your guys' easy synchronized transmission for the most part. But
hold up, you've got bigger roads. Don't slug us off, please, mate. Come on, it's harder.
You've got bigger roads to make bigger mistakes.
Yeah, we've got tight London, mate, to get round, and Bristol, mate. You know what I mean?
Back in America. Oh my God, there's a corner coming up.
In 48 miles.
Our GPS already warns us.
It's like that episode of Father Ted, isn't it, with the milkman, the milk episode. Yeah.
I'm going to crash in
all
the
kinds of boxes.
So, the very first time I got into, they handed me the keys of my truck that I wasn't going to have anybody in, and it was stressful. I made sure that I connected it correctly. Now, my training, I had actually had a lot of backing in my 2 weeks or 3 weeks. I can't remember if it was two or three. I think it was 2 weeks of training. And there was actually, I backed up, you know, 4 or 5 times a day. So it was nice. But we did the exact same thing over and over again. And so when I did get my first load, I wasn't prepared for it like I thought I was. Skillfully, I was, but I was trained on four axles that were stationary. They didn't slide, all right. But on the trailers that I have now, well, they all slide, and so I wasn't used to that. So I didn't have to figure all a lot of those problems out myself. And my instructions that I read on the computer, I'm like, oh, a lot of it kind of went over my head, you know. So I to go. What should have taken me, I don't know, maybe 10 miles, maybe, all right, to get to my pickup, I think I went 70 miles because I didn't know if I could take this route, and I didn't understand because I didn't really get the proper training is the thing, you know what I mean? He thought I had the proper training, but mainly only because we were doing the same work over and over and over again, and it kind of seemed like I knew what I was doing because I was pretty much doing it by myself without any guidance from him, but that's just like anything. If you keep doing the same thing over and over again, well, yeah, you know how to do that, but you don't know how to do this because you've never done it before. So I struggled with new stuff, you know. So again, when it should have taken me 10 miles, it took me 70, and I ended up being 2 hours late for my pickup, you know, and they were a little angry. And eventually, you know, I got on the road and moved it down. And then I went down, I, I didn't write my directions down correctly. Now, this is pre-GPS, by the way. This is me just writing directions down from the computer that another person had already written out and then sent it to my company. And this, because he made it there once, that means these are the official directions to get to this particular company. I put a left instead of a right somewhere, and I'm literally in the middle of in a neighborhood with houses and cars at 1 o'clock in the morning, you know, as like, it's just it was a nightmare of a couple of days. It really, really was. Like I ended up going down a dead end where I had to back out. And luckily enough, at least I had the practice of backing. So I was able, because this was a tight turn, you know, and I was doing it in the dark, and I was very proud of myself, but I was able to get myself out of tight situations, but I got myself into too many situations as a newbie. Like I should have gotten fined so many times because I've had illegal axle positions. Now on trailers in America, you when there are two axles, you can actually slide them all the way to the rear of the trailer, like 10 feet, you know, to more like 15 feet forward, you know. So the more forward it is, the more you can get around the cities and corners and all that kind of thing. But the more back they are, now you have a longer trailer. So, but a lot of times they want you to do that because it's easier for the forklift to actually, there's less bouncing going on when the forklift goes into the back.
Oh, right. You know, yeah, I mean? Because it's not going to pivot and stuff as, like that. That makes sense. Yeah.
You want to have the axles all the way to the rear if you have a really tight space. Meaning, as in, like, the distance between the two trailers are very narrow, then you want to have them all the way back. But, you know, it's just there's really good reasons to have your axles all the way back and forward. But I ran into a crazy amount of things that I just didn't know. And I got lucky. I really, really got lucky. I nearly killed myself once, you know, because I didn't know that my Jake brakes or the engine brakes, or you guys might call it a retarder, but it's what slows the truck and trailer down without using your brakes, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I was going down a hill and I'm keeping up with the guy in front of me. Now he's got the exact same load as I do. We came from the same customer, and all of a sudden all smoke started coming from my axles, from my tires. Basically,
you've got drum brakes, don't you?
Yeah. It's because I didn't know that the sound, I didn't realize that they were actually broken. How was I supposed to know? I never got taught. I could hear the sound when the engine brakes were engaged, you know, but I just presumed that was them working. It slowed it down a little bit, but half of them weren't working. I found out like 2 months later. So so I've got a huge fear of hills because
wait, what do you mean 2 months later? Did you wake up 2 months later then?
They informed me that they weren't working, because I didn't know until 2 months later, after all these hills that I'm constantly because I had to go down the hill at like 15 to 20 miles an hour while everyone else was just kind of pissed off.
Are you quite glad you didn't know about that though?
I would prefer to, if I knew about it, I would have got it fixed.
Oh, true story.
You know, so, you know, I definitely would have been more prepared, because I can't keep up with, like, yeah. So again, there was just a lot of stuff as a new driver that I didn't know, and I had to learn for myself. And just because you are, you know, they let you go, they give you the keys of a truck, you know, it's like, there's a good chance you actually, you're going to struggle, dude. So,
see,
you
know. Bear with me what I'm about to say, because it sounds big-headed at first, but started, and I was actually out on the roads and did all of that stuff there, I found I took to it like a fish to water, and I was absolutely fine with it. Didn't really have any issues, didn't really have any problems, didn't have any fuck-ups, nothing like that, until I started getting confident with what I was doing.
Oh boy. Yeah.
And I started to feel like, oh, yeah, I know what I'm doing now. I feel like, oh, no, it's okay. I've been down roads like this before.
Yeah,
I've done this before. It's fine. Don't do that. That's fucking wrong. Don't go down that road. Oh shit, I have to back out fucking 2 miles. Or the thing of, oh yeah, I've done a turnout of like this before. It'll be fine. Fucking snap the wings off the fucking thing. No. It was when I started getting a bit too big for my britches. That's when I started fucking up, and I fucked up so very often. So very often at that point.
How long have you been driving? How old were you?
I've been driving like 10 years on trucks, and I'm trying to think now. I mean, it was, well, so how old was I then? So I was 28, 27, no, sorry, 26, no, oh, fucking no, 29 at that point there I was, I think, or maybe 30. It was 9 years I've been driving. But either way, yeah, I started just getting a bit too, I just got too confident. I just got too big for my bridges.
Must be a Scumbrian thing.
And life took me down. But the thing, well, I think being living in Cumbria helped. And I would suspect Chloe will be very similar to me because.
Yes.
I would think that if you went to, say, for instance, Leicester, where Jammer is, or like kind of, I don't know, just any, well, to be honest, yeah, pretty much anywhere else in the country, I would think that you built a run rings around a lot of the drivers there on the tighter roads.
Possibly, because you're used to country lanes and, yeah.
This is it. Yeah. And I've noticed that even versus some of the drivers here, with some of the lanes that, because this is what we got pulled into the office, because we were going down some of the lanes. Now, if I'm honest with you, I'd encourage this because I was like, well, I know this road. It's fucking fine. And if you went down this road, Chloe, you'd be like, it's a dual carriageway. It's basically a dual carriageway.
I've been down some of these lanes, yeah.
It's a single track, but at the same time, it's a big single track.
Yeah, it's fine.
If you don't have to watch your wing mirrors at all,
if your wing mirrors aren't folding in, you're laughing. Basically,
yes, exactly.
Yeah, it's
fine. If you can't hear at least branches every second scraping down something, it's a big fucking road. Is that? It's fine. We can go down it, but yeah, I've noticed around here some of the other drivers fucking slowing right down, and you're going, the fuck are you doing? Jam down. You can go fucking flat down through this one here. But because of that, I think I was following other drivers and I was sometimes with other drivers and I was seeing, oh, I'm better than these guys. I'm more confident on these things here. I think it emboldened me to think that, oh, I'm quite good. No, you shit. You don't know what you're fucking talking about. Stop doing that. Don't do this. You're a fucking idiot. I think that's what you need to remind yourself when you're a new driver. You are a fucking idiot and you do not know anything. And some of the people coming up to you in the yard and saying, don't do that shit, they do know what they're talking about. Listen to that fucker. And I wish I did. I wish I listened to them people. There's my top tip for you.
There's a reason why they keep on telling you to get out and look. There really is. Yeah. If everybody got out and looked every single time, the amount of accidents that wouldn't have happened, you know. It's just that, I don't know, because it gets so easy after a while, I'm like, why the fuck would I get out and look? Well, that's the reason why, you know. Remember I told you about that I imagine it was probably $100,000 worth of damage. I imagine it was because that big huge roof that I took pretty much kind of took down because of the pole, you know what I mean? As in, like, if I got out and looked, that wouldn't have happened. I just didn't think I needed to because I had all the room in the world. And we all know that if you have all the room in the world, you can't back up. You know, Tom, you showed me a video there one time of you had all the room in the world, but you couldn't fucking back.
This isn't just a game. It's a once in a generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100 year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high flying dunks, 100 years of show stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100 year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
because you were struggling to actually maneuver your way over? Or was it a...
Yeah, the big... For some reason, if the tighter the... Well, so...
Oh, it was a wide open space. This. Isn't that right?
And it yeah, it was, for some reason, if you put me like down some fucking back ass, like, and again, I don't know how you find this, Chloe, but if I put you on the fucking tightest road around your place,
yep,
and I tell you to back up blindside, and I tell you that there's going to be cars traveling on either side of you and trying to push around, and there's pedestrians, you do it first time without a problem at all.
Yep.
If I told you to back up that back gently in this big open car
big
park,
open space
with nothing
where
around
nothing
it,
to gauge
you'd
about.
Be fucking shocked and backwards and forwards.
I need something to gauge it on because there's always something there to gauge it on. And then you're in a massive open car park and you're just like, oh, fuck this up. Everyone's watching me. Brilliant.
The only one other one that I could say is different to that is services for whatever reason put the fucking fear of God in me. It's like I know that my kind of my colleagues in the industry are around watching, judging, silently judging.
Yeah,
they're always there fucking 100%. Judging you. And so I'm there and I'm trying to back up, and I will always pick a spot where I know I don't have a truck on either side of me. And I think because it's like that, again, I think that's why it takes me like 5 shunts to do it. Can't fucking do it. I always try and pick the easiest spot in the fucking corner, somewhere where like I know I'm not going to be watched because it just does so much fucking pressure on me at that point. I don't like it.
Yeah.
There is one thing though I'd say, Tom. I think Chloe's got it a lot harder than you. I've been down them Devon roads and they are bad. They are bad. The national speed limits. And I can't believe their national speed. Mm-hmm. Even me and my mum's I borrowed my mum's car to go down there. Kia Sportage. And even I was like, I don't want to drive down here. They're going 60. So do you know what I'm on about? So say like heading to Beer, for instance, or Sidford.
Yeah.
Them little side streets towards the
Beer,
steam coast.
I've been through Beer with my lorry. It is horrendous.
For your lorry? Not a chance, mate. Absolutely I would have had two droppings. It's bad, Tom. Honestly, there is hedges either side and there's two cars coming side to side and it's a national speed limit and you look at it thinking, nah. And all these old people are racing past you doing like 70, looking at me like, you want to speed up, mate?
Gemma, I'll take you in my truck down some of the roads that I fucking go down like.
I've been down your road in your car.
You've been down a couple in the car.
Yeah, you did scare me in the car. I'm not going to lie. You did scare me in the car. You've got your balls are too big for me, mate.
That's right. I set off.
Yeah, but they're not like Devon roads.
It wasn't even the same. It was this fucking road behind me, the first road.
But you've got someone's kid in that car. Me. You've got to drive respectfully.
Don't think that counts.
But I will say, Devon, really, honestly, it's really difficult driving down there.
There's some shocking roads.
Really, really difficult. Yeah. I actually said to my missus at the time, Chloe, I think they're actually narrow to stop tourists. I think that's the genuine thing. I don't think Devon wants any tourists because when we were down there, they are also, from what I found, the rudest people. They do not like outsiders.
Yeah, there's a lot of people do not like Grockles. Grunt. Yeah, they do
Is
not
that
like
what we're
it.
Called?
Grockles. Yeah.
But they've got such a beautiful place. It's so gorgeous. It's the best looking place. Honestly, it's absolutely gorgeous.
There's a lot of fields. It is pretty. It's nice enough.
I lost Tom on his road, Craftsman said.
I said, I've driven in both counties, yeah, and I do feel that Devon's harder than Cumbria. Yeah,
ooh,
and that's where the caravan
got a man
on.
That's been to both.
Jammer, you've been
to both as well.
Yeah, Cumbria's all right. It's not scary. It is at night time when you got Tom telling me the first time I went up. Oh, yeah, come through Windermere, pitch black. I was shitting myself.
Yeah.
That's not a problem.
That's scary.
The only thing that I find with Devon is you've got a different type of hedge where you've got the sides, which are the grass, which
the
goes up. Right, you've got the banks and then
banks,
the hedge.
And
that's the only thing that I find. But
and
I,
then
I,
hidden
I,
rocks.
I've driven both. And I will say the roads I've taken you on, Gem, aren't too bad.
Carriageway? Do you remember the dual carriageway you took me on? That was a single track lane. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, it was. There's a single track lane not far from us, and it's classed. It is a dual carriageway. So it's
so we've got blue lights.
It's technically 70 miles an hour down this fucking single track.
Fuck that.
And you can fucking send it down there if you need.
And it's got a sharp bend on it, like a blind bend to the right.
It's great.
Oh, country beans.
All right, so
Clive... But America's easier, I will say. When I lived in America, it was a lot easier. The freeway, I mean, outside my dad's house there, it was like how our street is, you can fit two vehicles down. In Michigan, in the little place I lived in, Colon, which is like 900 people.
Colon? You lived in someone's colon?
You could fit four cars on.
You lived in someone's colon?
I did, for a, that's why I'm brown. But it
this
was actually called,
nice
if you were to research Colon, it's actually classed as the magicalist city in the world, and behind us live Mini-Me, Vernon Troyer. Yeah, fun fact.
Fun fact?
Is that a fun fact?
Is it a fun fact?
Oh yeah, it is. It's the magicalist city in the world. Yes.
All right. So before we say goodbye to Clive as our guest, thank you for, again for coming on. So you like your experience in training? Would you recommend it to go through the company that not that you really kept.
Would you recommend Jammer?
Yeah.
As a trainer, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
And gelled with someone. You know what I mean? Of just the first day we clicked, you know what I mean?
That's great.
I get on with everybody, don't I? I'm a nice boy.
There's been a few people I didn't get along with. There really was. And now, not that I did actual CDL or HGV training, I had them in my truck all day for weeks at a time, you know? And it was just, I got to go home at nighttime, you know? Well, most of the time they got to go home as well, you know? So a lot of times I would only get the people who were actually close by. You know, and said, like, if they came from, like, I don't know, 200 miles away, they'd have to stay in the truck, which kind of sucked because it's kind of boring. But there's a few people that I dreaded them coming in every time. And I actually, I did say to my person in charge of giving me the students, and they, dude, I hate this guy. I hate him so much. Mm-hmm. He is,
I know that experience.
He's an arrogant, he's an arrogant prick. Yeah. I just can't handle him. I'm so sorry. And if you don't mind, can you move him on to somebody else just because I'm not enjoying my job and it's important for me to actually want to come into my job, you know? So it's just a,
So I didn't get that with Clive. Clive was spot on from day one.
So I had
a top boy from day one.
I was training up the other couple of weeks. This driver never stayed, by the way. Did I tell you? He, within the first day of being out with me, he decided to hang out the window wolf whistling at women.
Oh my God, you did that. Jesus Christ, Chloe.
Yeah.
While you're sat there.
While I'm sat there training him.
Wait, did you egg? You didn't egg him on or anything?
No.
Of course you did. She was whistling as well.
He was checking out young chicks. He was older than me, and he was checking out young chicks, and he was like, oh, look at that one. Like a lad. And I'm like, I'm not going to try. Please get on my cab. That was
in this day and age?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. That was my experience the other week. That was like no fun.
The new age Colin
Pitchfork. He's in jail now.
The new age Colin Pitchfork.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, that was fun. That was not fun.
But no, Clive's from Cumbria, the same as Tom, ain't you, Clive?
Aye, we're from up from Leakton.
What do you call Tom? What was it you told me
about Tom?
Scumbrians.
Scumbrians.
At least he's not from Novigrad, that's all right, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's true. I'm a Westmoreland lad, me.
Yeah.
Nice.
All right, Mara.
Now then, Mara.
Oh my God. Don't start talking.
You got
any
Mara, okay?
All right, before everybody embarrasses everybody else and whatever you guys are doing. All right, Clive, I really appreciate you coming on the show and talking about your experience in getting your HGV license. And we're going to see if dropping you is actually going to make it easier on my editing and on Chloe's...
My bad.
Our internet. We never had five people on one time before. But anyway, all right, take care.
Yeah,
we'll definitely keep in touch and find out exactly how well your career is going.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, Clive.
Right. Should we go on to my topic now?
Absolutely.
Oh. If it's good, right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Only if it's good.
Only if it's good.
Well, I figured you can, if you need to cut out any bits there, you can just use this next part because I've got like a little soundbite. So we're all fucking doomed, I think.
Who's
I think, All of us. All of us might
as in,
be.
Like, is there a meteor coming to attack, or AI is taking over, or what?
Maybe the last one, but... So, you know when like new inventions come up, and...
Yes.
People always get a little bit unsettled about it. So, like, when the electric light bulb came, people were thinking that it was going to kill everyone and stuff like that.
It's going to be race-related. Are you just using that as an analogy, a light bulb?
Like, let's... No, I was going to make a joke about fucking Nigel Farage, but let's not even go there. Jesus, fuck. It's not even funny at this point here. But I worry that the internet might be the end of times. And I love the internet. I love the internet. But I think that it has allowed some companies to get so big that it's going to fucking destroy us. Okay. And, well, you've got to look at the impact that it's having on the world today. And it's changed us as a society. It's something that me and Gemma were talking about this week, but on a different level. But it's so with Amazon and stuff like that, mm-hmm. and chatting online, talking, doing, we don't leave the house. There's no interaction with people. Like all the pubs are shutting because people aren't interacting outside. People literally go to work, come back, and then they might pop to the shop if they need something that they can't buy online.
Yep.
Eat, sleep, and shit.
And you look at like the high street with it shutting down more and more and more, and it really has. It's set this world up that I don't know if it's. For someone who's got social anxiety, don't get me wrong, I love it because I don't have to go anywhere. I love being able to click on things and it comes the next day.
Yep.
Or sometimes, if you're quick enough, that fucking day. If you get it like just after midnight and you click on it, you can be sure it's going to arrive in like
over
hours
here,
time.
Over here, it could be a few hours regardless. If I did it in the morning, I could probably get it in like 3 or 4 hours.
It's fucking, it's incredible. But has it destroyed us as a society?
Destroyed?
Probably, yes. 100%.
Well, look at the seasides. Look at the seaside resorts that used to be absolutely pumping. That's all gone.
Yeah.
You know, it is killing everything, the internet, I think, because it's almost like we're self-sustained now in our own bubbles, aren't we? We can just do everything we want, watch our own TV, order our food shopping like we do. We get it delivered to our door, bloke will deliver it. Thank you very much. We don't need to go out anywhere other than work just to pay the wages, and the wages only just cover the bills. So you've not actually got anything to actually go out for and spend it on anyway. It sort of works right.
Yeah.
We're just living to survive, aren't we?
So I just started playing soccer, like 6 months ago. But since then, I actually, every week, now it's actually twice a week, but every week I actually get to hang out with adults.
Hi.
And which at first, I love it. I still love it. But when I first started doing it, I'm like, oh my God, they couldn't shut me up. I was nonstop talking. I was like, oh my God, I'm talking to adults right now. This is fucking amazing. I've been for the last fucking 2 years, just me and my kids and my wife. You know, there's only so much you can say to your wife and everything. I wouldn't shut up.
Did you speak about your grass?
Absolutely. I was showing last weekend, I showed more pictures of my lawn than I did about my kids. My kids are actually in that photo too, and I have to pinch to zoom into them. Like,
the
right
kids,
here.
Check them all now. That's beautiful,
yeah,
in this picture.
I was never so proud of my lawn last weekend after I got it. I'm like, look at those stripes. Thank God. You know,
I do love stripes.
And yeah, it only really cost me probably a couple of $1,000 worth of water, you know?
a day.
See, it got me talking about my lawn now. What was I talking about? Socializing with people, as in, yes, because we never needed to leave our groceries. We pick them up. Somebody's already walked around with a shopping cart and put them in
and
them into the, yeah. So is that what it's called over there? So we do that. It's just, it's Costco. It's the only time I ever actually interact with people. And I do, I think I might be one of those obnoxious dads or whatever. You know, you get dad, you got people who do the dad jokes.
Yeah.
See, I go to Costco with my kids and I'm always joking around with my kids. I might be annoying to some people though. And yeah, they might be annoying too because they're kicking and screaming and all that.
Sounds like a problem.
Yeah, that's probably right, you know. But So I do, when I find myself going out in the public, though, I get a little excited because I'm just not used to it, you know. But
it's like Hangover Part 16, David's here running around.
The camera angle constantly changing because of switching. Yeah. But is it going to ruin us? Like, okay, so because I don't actually know what it's like out there, because I don't go to bars anymore because I have kids. The few times a year that I might actually go to a bar and actually pay for alcohol, meaning as usually I might go to someone's house and they provide the alcohol there, or I get it at the store and I bring it, you know. But like, what I remember back in my day when it was 20 years ago, $3.50 it cost for a beer. Now it costs $7. It's doubled. And I'm like, my income hasn't doubled.
Yep.
No, yeah. It's actually the same. Because, well, you know, it really is pretty much the same. And so I don't go to bars anymore because it just costs too much. If I am, I'm going to have one beer and complain about it, about the price. Same, you know,
that's exactly the same here, David. That's what's happening. So my friend runs a pub, and they've lost a lot of people since COVID because it is cheaper. Like, I bought these four Guinnesses, £4.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, when you buy them in the...
£4.
I went to the Red Lion. Yeah, £4. I went to Red Lion in Peak District 4 weeks ago. I bought a pint of Guinness. £4.50. Yeah. Never seen it so cheap. I couldn't believe how cheap it was. Because around my locals, it's about £8 for a pint.
Jesus, yeah. Far right, like down here, to be fair.
But we were sorting out Christmas presents today, and we went into the perfume shop. And I remember buying Izzy Miyake and what's my other favourite? Jean Paul Gaultier. It was about £50 20 years ago. I had a look today, £140
Jesus.
For the same perfume. It's literally doubled. And I'm just like, but our wages are just stagnant. They just don't raise. So you're right. I don't actually understand how we're going to survive in the next 10 years, to be honest with you, unless something radically changes. But if you have a look at all the younger people now, they're doing really well. They're living a lot better. I don't know how they're doing
younger
it.
Younger people are?
Honest to God, from what I've seen.
Because they're living with their parents.
I don't know. Their parents, and they're not working. I think the internet,
the so-called thing that Tom's on about, is the internet is now funding their lifestyles, whether it's OnlyFans or YouTube or TikTok. They're all driving around in nice things. All I'm saying is I'm seeing a lot of younger people now that look a lot more sophisticated than we were back then. We was happy eating mud at that age. You know, kids are today.
And drinking out of a hose.
Yeah, we were real kids. We had a real lifestyle, whereas now the more sophisticated, they can have a real good debate with you. Like, my daughters are well above my years. So I don't know what's changed in the dynamics there, but I feel like their era is better. We've been forgotten.
There is definitely, with my kids, I've noticed that they are very switched on with certain
things.
They're
growing up with the outside world, though, whereas we didn't really have that. We had what was contained.
I fully agree with what you're saying. But like, say for instance, Ollie was talking about mental health at school, and he's like, "Well, they don't seem to have a care about mental health. They don't not doing this, this, and this, and this." And I'm thinking, I don't think I knew what mental health was when I was his age.
I just figured I was the only crazy person out there.
Yeah, like I think we'd had like a discussion about depression, and I think we'd had a discussion about like suicide and stuff like that as being like I'm sure we'd had something like that, but I couldn't.
We just had the police and the firemen. That was it.
Yeah, we had that. We had the drug ones. Well, like they said a pink elephant would turn up if you took mushrooms, which, by the way, false advertising never fucking happened.
All I remember is the hedgehog. Do you remember the hedgehog telling you to cross the road?
If you don't say love, you will end up with him.
I remember that. Do you remember the Strongbow one where it killed everything?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
What hedgehog, you guys?
At the end of the day, I just think the world's changed. The world's changed, and I think it's actually for the better. But I think everyone's more accepting. If we was walking around the street back in our day with a mirror or a phone in our faces, being vain, would get beat up for being vain. Whereas now you see it everywhere. They're all like turkey teeth and that, and it's all, you know, they're allowed to do it now.
I was driving down the road in the main street of my town, and I see some friends, And I happened to be on the, my parents happened to call like a few seconds ago. And like, I was one of the few people that actually had a cell phone. They, it was important to them that I had one. So they, if I needed to pick somebody up or whatever, you know, but I was like, oh, my friends get to see me with my, my hand to my phone. I was like, this is going to be awesome. I made sure I beeped the horn and everything, you know, there's another time too. I was hanging out in my, my parents' taxi and they were, I was just in the passenger seat or whatever. Right. But the phone rang. So I called it. Now this is the brick cell phone. You know what I mean? As in like, yeah, yeah. It actually had a handle that connected to a wire, connected to the brick.
The battery, clarify, you know? The big battery, you
know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, so I was talking to somebody and then a few days later, somebody said, oh yeah, I saw you on the phone in the car. I'm like, awesome. They saw me on the phone.
How much was it back then for a phone call?
Oh, it
was quite a lot of money.
Before
that was when Carphone Warehouse sold actual car phones.
Because we had one in our Scirocco. We had a car phone in our Scirocco.
Yeah.
Which was an E-Reg. What's that, 94? E-Reg.
Starphone. Makes sense, though.
Yeah, I had a
Thanks
car phone.
Thanks for that, Bella. I love how he's blurring it out.
Tom has a pussy next to his head. Sorry, a cat next to his head, and he actually blurred it out. Because they normally do blur
there
out.
There was
pussies,
a butthole,
you know,
to be fair.
Yeah. But now, when it comes to... I want to get back to the topic for a second. Now, when it comes to destroying the world, all right? The rich are getting richer, all right? And now you brought that up at the start. Like, Google basically controls what you can see a lot of the time. You know, Facebook definitely pushes a lot of stuff. Amazon pushes Amazon will do a lot of time, but they'll see a product on there that does very well, and they'll create that product because they'll always make sure that their product gets ahead of the other guy who's actually had it very well.
And they're very subscription based as well, Amazon, I found out.
Everything's subscription based.
I've got Audible, but it won't give me Prime. No, I have to go and pay another $7.99 for the Prime. And if I want this, I have to pay for that and that. Before you know it, you're paying £60 a month just to have Amazon,
yeah,
which is a ridiculous price, if I'm being honest.
So is I've that got an exaggeration?
Audible.
That wasn't.
Okay. No, I'm being serious. Everything Amazon is all separate subscriptions.
How much is Audible normally a month? Is it $30, $40?
No, my Audible cost me $8.99.
And how much does your Prime cost?
$8.99.
And then Prime
Video.
Then you've got Prime Video. It's all the other extra bits that you have to put onto
Prime Video comes free with us.
If you want MGM, then that's like another subscription.
Well, you could go up to $200 if that's the case.
Yeah, yeah, but this is like...
But with Sky, you know what I mean? Even Sky's a rip-off. If you just want... Like, my argument with Sky...
Sky anymore.
No, but so listen, this is my argument, and now they've actually started to listen.
Surprising amount, dude.
They've started to listen to me, I think, even though I've never actually told them, but they're doing something I've asked for. So, if I support a certain football team, I want to watch just them. But on Sky, you get to watch a load of other teams that you don't really care about, so why am I paying? I only want to watch them, and now they've actually brought out a digital season pass for the clubs. So you can just watch your team. But I thought about that years ago. The same with mobile phones. I was... like, well, why do I want to pay for calls and texts when I've got it through Wi-Fi? All I want is data. And all of a sudden, O2 come out with, now you can have just data package. That's my idea. I've said this.
Bastards. Thanks for reading your mind. Out of curiosity, what other things are you thinking of right now that they should do? Because
I'm thinking of a beer vending machine.
Buy stocks in his thoughts. Because
So a beer vending machine. You remember the old cigarette vending machines? Let's get a load of beer vending machines in nightclubs, forget the queue, on a bender, use the booze vendor.
Cool. Oh my God, that is fucking genius.
If you want marigolds...
Honest
if you want to wash
God, the... think about it.
And you could do it with AI as well, because you could have AI ID, yeah. And if the system doesn't think that you're over 18, then it would ask for an actual ID to you have to show it up to it.
Well, if you're into a club, you're 18 anyway, so it's down on the bouncy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, even the marigold idea, you know, you're fed up of getting a big scouring pad, just get little tiny squares of Brillo pad on your fingertips. There you go, your marigold. Scrubbing your dishes. Save the material.
Pretty sure that is a thing. I'm pretty sure
marigold?
I've seen that before.
Sorry, what's marigold?
The yellow gloves that you wear when you're washing up.
Yeah, you can get ones with things on it.
I know in Germany, in the hotels that we were staying at when we were kids, on our school tours, there was beer vending machines in the hallways, and that's how we got our beer when we wanted to drink. Well, actually, I didn't do it, but the rest of the crew did, you know.
So it's been stolen already then? Damn.
God dang it.
My other kind of thought was I think AI is going to bring about the end to the internet.
It'll bring it to jobs as well.
Well, I don't know. I think that it will take over some jobs, but I don't think it's, I don't know. But it's, I think it's going to bring about the, right. So where is, if you ask, like, I don't know, Gemini or Grok a question on whatever. So if you ask it, say for instance, okay, so Craftsman, he's in the channel right now. And he's had a problem with Battlefield 6. And the problem is that it is bringing up this error message. And so you go into Gemini, you ask how you fix it. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how does it know it? How does it know what to do?
By researching the internet for information with other people's answers.
Right. But if everyone starts asking AI how to do it,
yeah, it's learning.
People aren't going to use the websites.
Nope.
And they'll stop uploading to websites because they'll just start using AI. And as such, the AI will have less and less information because websites will shut down. They're not going to have the traffic. And it will become a point where less and less websites are uploading stuff. Why would you upload stuff if all it's going to do is just get the information with AI?
The AI will be fed information from the team. I mean, the bigger question you've got to ask yourself there, Tom, is where do you see the world in 50 years?
Probably on fire.
Yeah.
I'll be dead. Guaranteed, yeah. So
yeah.
I don't really...
Yeah, I'll be dead, actually.
You won't be dead, David. No, you won't be
50
dead.
50 years? You think I'm... Oh, yeah, you know... I'm sorry, you're right, I'll only be 95. Yeah.
I'm only like sad by that point, it's fine.
I've got to make sure...
You've got to remember... So 40 years... Well, I'm 40 years now, right? And I can remember the changes that's happened from that time. Same as you, Tom. You're the same age as me. Well, you're 39, right? But at the same time, look how fast the world's moved on in those last 40 years compared to from 1900s to 1970. We have gone super fast, like super fast. I mean, you've got Teslas now, self-driving trucks, self-driving. We've got automatum, everything. You only have to, you can unlock your phone just by looking at it. It knows your features. This is technology that, why didn't we know about that technology back then? And that's why I think aliens are real. They keep coming down, giving us little nuggets. You know? Well,
and they're doing it to destroy us.
There's the argument too that we're in a simulation, and that's actually a huge argument. And a huge, like,
I mean,
we're
in a
scientists
that
can't
sucks,
actually disprove it.
Why can't they have money in a simulation?
Well, I can't disprove that because it actually does make sense that we're in a simulation.
Well, I kept thinking we was a car mat.
Your car mat.
You know one of those? Yeah, you know one of those kids' car mats that you get. Hold it out, and it's got like the little roads.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I always thought as a kid, well, what if giants are up there or someone and they're pushing us around? And that would actually you know, like in Lego Movie.
Yeah,
we're
I was
them.
About to say like the Lego Movie.
That's funny.
Definitely checks out.
Yeah, The Sims.
Anyway,
fruit flies. We have so many fucking fruit
flies
in this.
They're attracted to your head. Would you like to hear my little story as a little last minute?
Absolutely, we would, yes.
Yeah? Hopefully my no more glitching happens while I do this. My suspense might be real. So this week, Friday specifically, so I went to go and do exchanges of bins as I normally would as a Roro, and it's one of those building sites. You know when a building site starts getting to the end of the job and it's getting tighter and tighter and there's now house built in land that would have had space to shunt and things. So there was three bins adjacent to each other, and I'm talking there's like inches between them, so you can't even like load them up and get the truck in between the bins. So it's fine because you pull them out and you sort it out. I turned up to do the exchange. Since I've done these bins, they've now decided to put containers either side of these bins, and again inches away from these bins, which is fine to a degree. However, like, I obviously went in and said, you're going to have these move. This is not going to work because it's just going to cause damage. Something's going to get broken. So anyway, they arranged that they'll move one. We'll have one moved out of the way. That's fine. So I pulled that one out in the middle. Not a problem. Went back for the second one. It's right up against the container, mind, on the blind side. So my plan was to drag out sideways away from the container
But because when you're putting bins in and out on dirt, they slowly dig up the dirt, don't they? Right? So one side sunk. So I'd already pre-warned them that I'm probably going to damage this container or something's going to go wrong. And they're like, yeah, well, we put it in after. That's fair enough. Anyway, proceeded to pick up this bin. I thought I was in the clear. The bin obviously knocked over. And as I dragged it on, it literally, the back of my lorry dragged out the whole of this container. I caught the end of it. And I was just like, all I saw was this guy come flying out the container, screaming his head off. I got told this container was empty.
Is that like a proper skip rat?
Is one of those containers that they have like an office in. So there's this guy.
What?
Yeah, there's this guy in this container with the door shut, completely minding his business, doing his paperwork, sat on his laptop, whatever.
Were the windows in it?
There's no windows. It's one of those, like, they must have had a little slide window.
This guy just had the sudden understanding that things were moving.
He can't explain it. What the fuck is going on? I'm guessing someone was completely oblivious. Like, they either knew he was there or not. They just said, yeah, just crack on, it's fine. So I just presumed it was empty.
Their cell phones were out.
You were, sorry.
Like, oh, my God, you got to watch this. You got to watch this.
Yeah, I'm sure they set me up because they were in stitches. The managers came out. They were laughing their heads off because I was thinking, oh, God, I'm going to get in the shit for this. I was like, I'd already pre-warned you, mate. I'm sorry, I pre-warned you. And they are in absolute stitches. This guy is in hysterics, just freaking out, going like, he starts laughing about it eventually, but other guys are like wetting themselves on the floor at this point. And I'm just like, like, sorry. And I've honestly, I'm not even kidding, this container has moved like, I don't know, it's like moved a whole length. Like, this is moved.
To our audio listeners, that's around 5 feet is what Chloe is representing with her hands.
Yeah, probably about that. So anyway, that was my kind of story from this
week. Would shit yourself, wouldn't you, though?
Oh, can you imagine being sat there?
A man in prison, and then things, because you get the sensation of, like, I'm moving. Yeah. Something's going on. What the fuck? And then because you don't know, he's having to get up while this container is in motion.
Yep.
So.
And come flying out the door.
Fucking.
Imagine if he was asleep and you took him back.
What?
Oh, she's gone. Imagine if the bloke fell asleep on the job
just before she died again.
Imagine though, if she actually got him on the back and he's still in there sleeping, and then he wakes up. You know, like that episode in Only Fools and Horses where Rodney and Del Boy are in the back at Hull with Denzel, and they end up in Holland. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God!
If he got loaded and put on the back of a truck.
And then onto a ship.
Ready to go back.
Straight on the shipping container.
Oh, honestly, we've moved these containers. You know, like the containers you're on about. There's like Roro version. I got told to move them once. They didn't think about clearing out the toilet. I didn't think anything about it. So I loaded it up, took it to their next site. Apparently, I delivered it, and they opened the door and shit everywhere. Imagine being a guy stuck in the locked doors and we're shitting going everywhere as you travel.
You just show up at the door and like, nope, not dealing with that. That's not.
On
I'm
Jacka.
Never talking about this ever again.
The thing is, you couldn't even pressure wash that out because anyone who's ever used a pressure washer knows if you're trying to spray into something like that, it sprays back onto you.
Yeah.
So you're just getting covered in actual shit, which is not something you fucking want in the slightest.
No.
David's like, what the fuck? Where's this going now?
Yep. There you go. That's a nice little
disgusting
story for you.
There's a question then for you as well, Tom, were you just saying that? How do you clean out a cement trailer? Like a cement, do you know?
With water.
Oh,
there's a proper way of doing it, isn't there? And I wanted to know how to do it because I was looking at it set.
So I've not done it before, but I've talked to some guys who have, and like it's not great. It's not great in the slightest. They've got to go in the back with a hammer, but you've got to because
you mean if it's set,
obviously.
Yeah, if like set,
So you've got to go in the back with a hammer and like smash it all out, but you've got to go in with your full like goggles, mask, dust, like helmet, because if you're banging it, it can drop off the top, And you've got to think that if you've got a fucking chunk of it, it's like 100 kilos, 200 kilos that can land on you. It can kill you, like, easily kill you.
Do you have any reports like of anyone dying on that?
I guarantee you, if you Google it, there are many reports of it. Like, there's people who specialize in doing that kind of thing. And, it's not, I couldn't do it. The idea of crawling in there and being in this confined metal space where things can fall on my head, no. It's like, have you ever guys watched the caving videos?
Yeah.
Yeah. I watched one where they got stuck in the mine as well. Them guys
in caves.
South America when they got trapped. Claustrophobic just scares me.
I don't get claustrophobic per se, but like if I'm kind of squeezing underneath things like that.
I don't like that sort of stuff.
And then what if there's like a spider down there? I know there's probably not, but
there probably will be. There's always a spider.
Gross.
Yeah, my son's not slept in his room for 4 days because of a spider in his room. I've tried
honestly,
to find him.
Rightly so.
Can't find
is it well, so he's genuinely not slept in his room because of one?
Well, here's a funny story then. This is a bit of a thingy story. It's quite funny, but it's real. It happened the other day. So I got home. You know when you go home, it's the only place you can actually go toilet. Because you can't go toilet on the road. I went toilet. I remember putting everything down.
Oh, no.
A spider fell in my pants while I was sat there and I shit myself.
You were literally shitting. You were already shit yourself. So if you are going to shit yourself,
you're in the right
place. That's the one place you should do it.
Yeah. And it was big because I flicked it and it whacked the bath, like the side of the bath. You could hear it. I'm bonk.
I just want to, one second. I can't post it up. In the chat, I'm having an orgasm has said, I've slept in my car before when there's been a spider in my flat.
Yeah, that checks out.
I think that he might be my spirit animal because that sounds like something I would do.
Yeah,
but you get the Hoover. Just get the Hoover and suck it up.
That's one thing.
What if it comes out of the Hoover?
It's not going to.
But
you've got to tell yourself it's not going to come out again.
That's one thing I did like about tramping, because I knew that the reality is a spider's not going to find its way into the cab. Even if it found its way onto the wheel and climbed onto like the wheels, and then it'd have to climb onto the wheel, across the axles, and then up the suspension. And even by that point there, like you can be like you'll be going in the morning, so it'll be fine.
I was in the office once and I put a high vis on. And I felt an itch on my shoulder.
Oh, you've told us this.
And also my thing's glitching, so there's no point in going on. Bye.
So Tom, since you told us this, you can tell us a story, since because I actually don't recall. So Tom, can you let us know what she was talking about?
No, she has gone. Yeah, there was a spider in her jacket on a high vis, and it crawled on her, and it was hideous. Apparently, it was quite a big one, wasn't it?
Oh no!
Oh, I'm back. Yeah, it was a big one. And the best thing is though, I'd been had this high vis on for like a good 10-20 minutes. Kept feeling this thing. It must have been sat on my shoulder having a ride.
You just thought it could have been something. Jesus Christ!
No. It was sat on my shoulder having a full blown ride as I was driving trucks, like moving things. Yep. And then I got out, and then I felt a thing again. And you know when you put your hand there, and then I was like, "Oh, what is that? That feels gross." And it felt really like big. And then I'm like, you know, when you pull it out, and you're just in this hand, and you're like, "Ah!" And I launched it, and it landed on the floor with a thud. I was like, "Oh, that was disgusting."
I got two cockroach stories. All right, now I may have told this before because we all love to talk about how shitless we are when it comes to bugs and all that kind of stuff. But I was sleeping in a bed next to my wife, and you know, sometimes you kind of just feel something. It could be just like the cloth of the sheets, you know what I mean? It just kind of rubs up. So, but then I put my hand back there and I felt something, and I end up just kind of like squeezing extra hard.
Oh no!
And I get up, turn the light on, and there was a cockroach right there that was crawling underneath me. Yeah, I killed it with the squeeze. I killed him in one go, like while in the dark, where I felt
that's
it.
Impressive. I thought cockroaches didn't die.
Yeah, this one. So another time too, I was in Australia. I think it was an Airbnb or it was a house of a friend or something. I don't know, but our entire family is there, the Irish family, and there were. I was the first one to open up the door. As soon as I turned on the lights, I see a couple of cockroaches just go like squirming around the floor. having like, I was like, you know what? No, okay, everyone, hold on a second. There's a, we need to, you know, we made sure not to tell my younger sister. So I was like, okay, we just got to like, hold on. We just got a few stuff we got to do first. Cause I was not going to be able to be comfortable unless that those cockroaches were taken care of. Again, that was just the ones we saw. You know what I mean?
So I don't know if I told this one, but we were pressure washing outside, and I was pressure washing down the drain a little bit, and this fucking colossal spider crawled out. And it's the one by the front door. It was huge, this thing. And it crawled up the... I'm like, well, I don't want it going near the house, so I'm just going to blast it out into the street. So I kind of like... You know, you can get like the kind of the air on the back end of the jet wash. So you're not kind of like hitting the water with it. So I kind of just blasted it off the wall and then got it kind of going up the driveway and then got it onto the road. And it started scurrying towards the house again. So I thought, I'll do it one more time. Mm-hmm. And then it stopped for a second, got up, started scurrying towards the house. And I repeated this until this guy started driving down our street. And I had to stop him and say, hey, listen, I know this is weird, but could you run this spider over for me? Because it's going towards the house. And I don't like that. And he said, oh, I'm not going to run it over because that feels a bit cruel. I says, but I'll pick it up. I don't mind spiders. And he picked it up, and I think it was a little bit. It was. This guy didn't mind picking the spiders, and it was so big. I think he started getting a little bit nervous with it because it was, massive. It was like real big. And yeah.
Do you remember the time where I lost my man card? Remember the story I said when I lost my man card? I was going to the toilet in a warehouse. It was just kind of an old enough toilet or whatever, you know, and I've definitely shown you the pictures, but there was a cockroach-ish kind of thing. It was like a spider cockroach or something. I can't remember exactly what they called it, whatever, right? But it was inside in the toilet. And so once I sat down, it jumped out and I fucking freaked out, and I see it on the ground, and I'm like, I can't go now, you know? So I went outside and like I went over to a guy. Hey, dude, here's my man card. Can you do me a favor and kill a spider inside in the toilet? And he went in and was like, oh, yeah, he had no problem whatsoever. He kind of like kind of jumped at him. And then he was like, fuck off. You know, kind of he flicked it off himself and then he stood on it. And it was just it was disgusting, dudes. It was just like I really appreciate that. And yeah, I don't care if I lost my man card or whatever. You know, I don't have to deal with that anymore. So it was crazy. I can't remember. I did post it on Facebook, and a bunch of people said, oh yeah, this is that, and that's this, and this, and that. And like, I can't remember exactly what it was, but some kind of a cockroach or something. Oh my God. Oh, Jesus Christ. No. Oh.
See, I had something similar, but it's actually more of a loving story. So to stop everyone being scared about spiders.
Okay.
I appreciate that. I lost
is our guard going to be down right now and we're going to end up fucking yelling now because it's actually really...
No, you're actually perhaps... I reckon Chloe's going to be the one to react to this in quite a loving way. So, obviously, I used to start work at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I remember this one day, I've closed my door, it's the pitch black outside, I've opened my door, and I felt something on my foot as I've got into my car. Like, I've kicked something and it felt like scratchy. And I thought, what the fuck is this? So I've gone outside because I cracked myself. Like, literally, you know when your hairs on the back of your neck go up? You're like, oh, what's that? And it was a little tiny baby hedgehog, and it curled up into a ball.
Aww.
So I got into my car, and I was like, well, I don't want to run it over. So I got my boot, and I sort of snudged it across past my wheel. And I rode back very slowly, and then I saw it at my door, and then it ran. But yeah, that freaked me out. But it was like, after it, did I show you the video, Tom? Did I send it you in the WhatsApp group? I'm not sure if I sent him it.
Sorry.
I'm not sure if I sent him the video, but it was a hedgehog and it was at my front door and it ran away. But yeah, so it actually freaked me out, but then turned out to be a cute little hedgehog. So yeah.
I don't know if there's some technical issues. I think David's going to have a fucking aneurysm this week.
oh, fact, by the way, no one's actually going to see
this week.
Nobody's
going to
see this
fucking aneurysm.
I'm not fucking editing it. Fuck this. This is junk. Like, I'm done.
I think we started out quite well, to be fair.
Oh, I did research that spider that fell in my pants. It was actually a false widow. is what they call
false
it.
Widow.
Oh, did false. It have a skull on its head? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's got a skull on the back, yeah.
Jamma, did you have a topic? You said you brought a topic.
He did. He brought a fucking guy for the topic.
He's done it.
I wasn't sure if that was the topic or not.
Well, the other topic was basically, is the trucking industry ready for the new are the new drivers that we're setting up to come into the truck industry now, are they ready for it? So, yeah.
Okay.
This is topic.
Fair enough. Fair enough. That was my topic, wasn't it?
Yeah, you've
done it. Well, it's actually more like future-proof, yeah. What's it going to be like in like 20 years? Are we training truck drivers today the right way for the future? Basically what I was trying to get at. Why I've decided to bring on Clive to see how he was.
Yeah. I loved it. Very good.
Anyway, Tom, before the shit hits the fan on our technical difficulties, you want to wrap it up?
Let's do it, lads. Let's do it. Thank you so much for listening. If you haven't listened, that's because David didn't edit it. And he has just nope the fuck out of this. He's got 10 minutes into this and he's been like, nope, fuck it. I don't know. No, fuck you guys. No episode this week. It was nice being here, but if that didn't happen and you did listen to it, thank you so much. And we shall see you maybe next time for the 200th fucking episode.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Thank you so much for listening. Our podcast manager and editor was David. Holy fuck, David. Thank you so much. This was, I think, probably one of the hardest ones we've had to edit in genuinely years, potentially. It's been a while since
we'll
you've
see.
Had one like this.
We'll see. They're making it a little easier now to kind of figure stuff out.
David's just going to use AI, doesn't it?
No, make my video.
AI will be part of it.
There you go. Yeah. Check that.
Right. Big thank you. Also we've got thank you to our hosts, myself, David again, Jamma and Chloe.
Yes.
And thank you to our Patreons. We've got Arthur Job, Dildo, I'm Having an Orgasm, Jack Goodwin, John Brown, Justin Reaney, Master Bates, Mihol, Phil Starkey, SmyD, Skip Dude, Stephen Patterson, Timo, Trucker Colin, thank you very much. We've also got Big Mike, Gavin Williams, Neil Rees, Trucker Joe, and Danny Flynn, the Huanky
remember,
Master.
We don't love them as much.
I know.
Stop giving them, those cheapskates, the same thank you as the guy as our mega supporters.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah.
They've been having a free ride there for the last couple of weeks there now. So
yeah.
Yeah.
That's the most Irish I think you've ever been.
I heard it myself. I'm like, shit, I just thought it was really Irish right there.
Yeah, and we shall see you next time. Bye-bye.
Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.